There's that old school bell, so you know that it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is lesson number 42. We only have about 15 minutes, so don't be late for class. Get your Bible, pull up a chair, turn your radio up, and be turning in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 11. Last time we were talking, we looked at Isaiah chapter 2. And now we're going to look how this ties in to some things we read in Isaiah chapter 11. And so I'll be explaining that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And our teacher is E.A. Elam, and the lesson we're going to be looking at today is a continuation of the lesson, the Sunday school lesson, that he wrote for Sunday, May 7th, 1922. And we're talking about the prophecy of Isaiah and how Isaiah prophesied about the mountain of Jehovah, a holy mountain. And in the last lesson, we talked about how that's prophetic language for his kingdom. And in the New Testament, we see that's talking about the establishment of his church on the day of Pentecost. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 2 that there's going to be peace among all the peoples that come into his holy mountain. And that is among all those in the church. You know, out in the world, there's so much war and confusion and contention and strife among people, but we can lay all that aside when we come into the Lord's church. And people that would be enemies otherwise out in the world find themselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. In that beautiful poetic language that Isaiah spoke in the prophecies in Isaiah chapter 2, he described this peace saying, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." In Isaiah chapter 11, when he's talking about that holy mountain, he says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." That is Isaiah 11 and verse 9. And he describes this peace as peace among the animals of the creation. In verse 6, Isaiah 11 verse 6, he says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the ox shall eat straw, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox." Well, how is all that going to happen? It doesn't literally happen. But I'll tell you, there's some lion-like people, and there's some ox-like people in this world. And in the world, they won't get along. But when we come to Christ, and we are in him, and take on his attributes as we learn his ways, and we're added to his church, then we're in his holy mountain. And in his holy mountain, there is peace. I'm going to begin reading from Elam's notes, the Sunday school lesson from May 7th, 1922, section 2, the shoot, our branch. And it begins talking about what is written in Isaiah 11 in verse 1. "There shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit." In the preceding chapter, Isaiah foretells the invasion of the Assyrian army, the chastisement of God's people for their sins, and the impious vaulting of Sennacherib and the destruction of the great Assyrian host as a vast forest is cut down. In contrast with this forest, the shoot or branch of this verse is represented as coming forth from the stump and roots of an old tree, but a twig and a tender plant to begin with, it will become fruitful. This shoot will come from the stock of Jesse, and this branch from its roots. There can be no doubt that this refers to Jesus. For Paul says, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that ariseth to rule over the Gentiles, on him shall the Gentiles hope, Romans 15 and verse 12. We know that David was a son of Jesse, Ruth chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, and that Jesus was of the seed of David, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8, and also Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Jesus says of himself, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, Revelation 5:5 and Revelation 22:16. He is the tender plant and the root out of dry ground, mentioned in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, and in Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. In fact, Jeremiah 23:5 says, Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall be as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And there's other places throughout the Bible where this is the language and these are the words that refer to Jesus. Sometimes, on account of sin, the people of God were so scattered and reduced that they were represented only by the stump of a tree cut to the ground, or even a root in dry land, but there was always a remnant. Clark's commentary says, We have here a remarkable instance of that method so common with the prophets, and particularly with Isaiah, of taking occasion from the mention of some great temporal deliverance to launch out into the display of the spiritual deliverance of God's people by the Messiah. For that this prophecy relates to the Messiah, we have the express authority of St. Paul in Romans chapter 15 in verse 12. We must see this. Brethren make a great mistake when they make these many references of the prophets to deliverance through Christ apply to some temporal deliverance and restoration of the Jews to temporal blessings and power in Jerusalem. Number 3, His Spirit and Judgment. Looking at Isaiah 11, verses 2 through 5, these verses give the Spirit and judgment of this one to come from the family of Jesse. His Spirit was to be the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. Read Isaiah 42, 1-4, and see its fulfillment in Jesus in Matthew 12, verses 18 through 21. Read Isaiah 16, 1-3, and find its fulfillment in Luke chapter 18 through 20. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. God sent the Spirit upon Jesus when he was baptized. And by this John the Baptist was to know that he was the Christ, Matthew 3:16. John 1:32-34. God gave the Spirit without measure to Jesus, John 3:34-35. Jesus has the power and wisdom of God, the righteousness and justice of God, the love and mercy and tenderness of God. His teaching and wonderful works on earth, His gentleness and grace, His reign in heaven show His wisdom and power, His grace and godly fear. His delight was in the law of Jehovah, in His prayers and tears and agony. He was heard for His godly fear, Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9. All Christians must cultivate thankfulness and endeavor to offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:28-29. God says, to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my work, Isaiah 66:2. People who fear Jehovah, who respect his word, who honor his will, come into his presence with awe. They're afraid to disobey him. They delight in his service. They're the ones that he blesses and saves. There is today a widespread lack of the fear of God in the land, even with his professed children. With the spirit of Jehovah, delighting in the fear of Jehovah, this one would judge according to the righteousness, equity, and faithfulness of Jehovah. He would not be partial. He would not respect persons, would not judge after the sight of his eyes or decide after the hearing of his ears. Righteousness and faithfulness would be his girdle. The loose flowing garments worn made it necessary to wear a girdle in order to bind the garments about the body out of the way of action. To have the loins girded was to be ready for action, Luke 12:35. Hence the girdle represents activity and strength. This is a frequent figure of the Bible. Christians, as soldiers, ready for action, are to have their loins girded with truth, Ephesians 6:13-15. The loins of their mind girded, 1 Peter 1:13. And to gird themselves with humility, 1 Peter 5:5. Girded with righteousness and faithfulness, this judge would be jealous and active and strong in executing justice and doing his work. It is encouraging and rejoicing to know that Jesus and not man judges us, and he judges us not in the prejudice and partiality and presumption and ignorance of men, but in the righteousness and equity and faithfulness of God. Both the poor and the meek, the arrogant and the rich, will be judged alike. In this judgment, the earth will be smitten with the rod of the mouth of the judge, and the wicked will be slain with the breath of his lips. The rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips represent his word, which pronounces the judgment and doom of the wicked. And then, number 4 of this Sunday school lesson, we read about the reign of peace. This is Isaiah 11:6-9. The figures of these verses representing the effects of the peace which all enjoy who come under the reign of Christ are strong and beautiful. The wolf and the leopard will not destroy the lamb, and the kid, but all shall lie down together. The young lion and the calf and the fatling dwell together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall become tame and no longer feed upon other animals, but shall eat straw like the ox. Under the gospel of peace and in the church of Christ, those who were wolves and leopards and bears and lions, praying in selfishness through greed for grain, through fraud and oppression upon the weak and helpless, are mild and gentle and tender and just and righteous and merciful and gracious. We're going to continue this lesson in the next class. Isn't it wonderful? And so the old schoolmaster would say, you may now be dismissed.